with me, since the one and only Apollo Finance, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, we've got Doug. How you doing, Doug?
Alrighty, I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. And we have Gary. How you doing, Gary?
So-so. How are things for you guys?
Cool. Well, since... Yes, Gary?
Yes. Oh, I just wanted to follow up real quick on something that was discussed last week, because I double-checked the most recent PDF of the Federation Commander Reference Rulebook, Revision 6A.
Yep.
And they actually have... Okay, so if you have that PDF, or get the print version of it as well, there's little circles with stars in them to represent rules that have been added in the most recent revision. And so I went to have a look at the plasma rules, and out of the current version of the rule set, the way it is that if you want to start the scenario with full batteries on your ship, then you can leave the plasma armed to the first term of armory. But now you have an option. Well, I say now because it's been like this for 8 years. I guess 2014 was when the thing was uploaded permanently. The most recent revision says that if you want to basically have the second term of arming loaded, you can do so, but the price is that the batteries have to start the scenario empty.
Right.
So now I'm not too sure if it's formally addressed in the current playtest X rules or not, but I suspect that's on. I mean, that would be a big thing for the X ships not to have any of their X batteries filled at the start of a scenario.
Agreed.
So I don't know if that's going to be something addressed in the full version of the X ships attack rule set. Actually, that reminds me, I should probably post something about that. But anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
So that might be something to keep an eye on.
Well, trust me, I definitely will. And that was my point. My point is that if you're not a plasma player, you can start the scenario, start the game, with your weapons fully ready to go. Simple. If you're a plasma player, now you can't hold back. And if you want your batteries, you have to hold back for 2 turns. If you're willing to drain your batteries, you can have your weapons ready at a really high cost on that first turn. It's just nuts.
Well, bear in mind that it's not like in SSD where if you start a turn with no batteries, then for anyone on Thunder Andromeda, then you've got no reserve power for the rest of the scenario, rest of the turn. But with FC, because there's things like no housekeeping and power is power, like you don't have to worry about the differences between warp and impulse power.
Trust me.
You generally have more in the tank. So, I mean, yes, for an X ship it would be a bigger deal, but for most plasma ships, they have a certain amount of power that they do see from the batteries, but I don't know if it's as big a deal breaker. I think the biggest issue that plasma has in Federation Commander is the fact that there are no acceleration limits for the actual ships, because in SFB, if you're running slowly and someone chucks a plasma at you, it takes time for your ship to go faster to avoid the plasma. Whereas in Fed Commander, you can pay acceleration points throughout the turn, and there's nothing to stop you from changing your baseline speed from 0 to 24 or whatever from one turn to the next. So I guess everyone has a positron flywheel. So plasma basically has issues, at least in certain scenarios, because I guess if you're still playing a campaign and you're dealing with freighters and fixed installations and stuff, then it's a different story. But when it comes to less of that, like more kind of quote-unquote tournament-y kind of play, then it's more of a challenge for pure plasma empires in that sense.
Agreed. One quick question for you, Gary, from Dave. It's related to FedCom. And he said, question for Gary or anyone. If I remember seeing an Android chart for defeating monsters. Androids don't use shuttles, so they modified this chart for Android use. I've been through he's been through his library and he can't find it. Does anyone know where that is? And he's completely stumped. And he also mentioned, of course, there's a few empires that do not use shuttles. I'm hoping I can use the chart for them also. I don't remember this chart. I'm assuming this was a chart for like monster scenarios. Like,
I don't have the reference rule book in front of me, but, I'm trying to think because I remember.
I'm wondering if it has.
I don't know if it was in the Solid.
I'm wondering if it might be in one of the captain's logs.
I'm not sure about that, but remember.
Here's the reason I say that is because
I think it's in.
Didn't ADB actually revisit the monsters? And some of the captain's logs kind of update them, or am I thinking about just scenarios? Because I think they revisited also Unity, the Unity campaign. In the captain's
log. All the recent issues of captain's log. So each of the recent issues of captain's log has a monster article, and it basically goes into more in depth in terms of certain interactions, like with things like terrain features or unique weapons and stuff. But I do recall, I'm pretty sure that there was something in, I think it might have been the Tholian Master Starship book, about there's something that if you're dealing with a monster in the home galaxy, and when you roll in SFD at least, an answer that can't be done with the technology that's in M81, then you get to roll again. So you're not basically stymied. Like, for example, M81 can't have suicide shuttles. So if you have a monster and the roll is to prep a suicide shuttle, then you're not basically stuck entirely. They just say, just roll again. So I don't know. I don't recall there being something like that for Fight Commander, but it might be worth something.
Yeah, but it might be SFB.
But I mean, it's in sort of FedCom side of things.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something to bring up, but I mean, I suppose if you're in a situation, because you can play an M81 in Fed Commander as well.
Right.
They do have all of the Tholian ship cards. The Neo-Tholian ones come with the particle cannon. The notes as well, and there are playtest rules for the old Galaxy Pirates and Captain's Log 40 for FedCom as well as SFB. So maybe as an interim measure, you could just let the player roll again if they come up with an answer that their Empire's technology can't handle. So, I mean, it's probably not going to be the official answer, right? So
right.
Maybe you take a look at it. But,
You
know, buy any reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely. Dave was mentioning, yes, it was SFB, and the standard rule chart is actually in rule S6.0. I'm thinking of two different places. One is the captain's logs, that maybe when they started to revisit the monsters that have been in different scenarios. Check there. The other one I'm thinking about is I would check the website. Starfleet Games website to see if they happen to have an updated chart for that scenario for Andromedans and other empires that don't use shuttles.
The other thing as well is in SFB, there are very few monsters that have dedicated SFBs. So when you're playing with them on the tabletop, a lot of the rules are really abstractive. But if you compare that to FedCom, where every monster has a ship card, so the way that you're playing it more as an actual ship, even if it's a monster ship, so it's not just like the Juggernauts that have those. So maybe the onus is a little bit different, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. annoying. Sorry, I'm trying to watch the Twitch stream and it's just buffering. Anyway, the I actually have a couple topics. I thought I could have all three, but I don't know where the third one is. My guess, it's going to be a community hailing frequencies or the new community. I think that's right. Newsletters that have gone out, which is basically I wanted to talk about the possibilities of the FedCom modules, because I know last week Steve Cole mentioned that he was trying to decide on one of the three FedCom modules, and both I know Gary, you and I were talking about that we really would like to see the X ships. So, but there was the X ships, there was the gunboats, and then there was the fighters. I did not find the rules for the fighters. I found the rules for the gunships and the X ships, which are in caps log number 53 and 54. So, well, at the same time, when it comes to the chart, ADB is probably busy. What was that? I'm sorry.
If you have the BBS open, you could then go to the FedCom section and then go to Fighters Attack. If you read through some of the posts, I want to say that I don't know if it's on the current page or on the previous page of posts, but there is a link to the communique that has the most recent playtest Fighters Attack rules, if that helps. I forget the number. I forget the issue number, but it's there somewhere.
Okay, Fighters Attack. Communique. It says in the communique. Well, actually, it's the communique 128, and then they have a direct link to it, which actually is not going to, that'll help me a little bit, but I'm not sure you want to sit and wait for me to read the rules, which is, you know, it's a little hard to discuss it when I have not read the rules yet. But anyway, I'll read that for next week then. So what I wanted to discuss, you know, was I figured we could first start talking about the rules for the gunboats, since for the most part, they're not much. They're not, meaning they haven't really changed all that much. There's nothing really all that special overall. Okay, give me a sec. For those who are watching me on video, which I'm hoping you're watching me on video on Twitch. There it is, page 34. Okay, now, because I read through it all, and ADB describes how basically the gunboats are what previously were called, you know, fast patrol ships. You know, initially they were called pseudo fighters, and then renamed to be fast patrol ships. You know, PFs. And one of the main things that they did to simplify was they eliminated the reduced cost from 1/5 to 1/8. And obviously, I know Gary, you mentioned this before about that and how it's a simplification, because doing like 1/5, 1/10, those things get quite difficult. And also, of course, the ship cards have to be made much more unique than 1/8. Obviously, even 1/8 can be problematic to a certain degree. Now, some of the simpler, things that was removed for FedCom, which was certain things won, which the number of variants, there are none. Big surprise. There's no variants in FedCom. Though obviously at some point in the future that might change, because it says is it one of the comments here? It says for now at least, and maybe forever, we'll only use standard gunboats. No leaders or scouts. No special missions or weapons variants. So there is hope for those of you who like certain variants of the different gunboats. well, obviously they mentioned that the gunboats are designed to be short-ranged. There are no tenders, but there are some deployment rules that are in there. You can have a maximum of 6 gunboats in a battle. In a force. That's only 3 if you're in squadron, because just like they mentioned, just like the fighters, that instead of having a shrunken version of a gunboat, they just say, well, what you're going to do is you're just combining 2 of the gunboats into 1, so you only can have 3 gunboats instead of 6 gunboats. So it's kind of a whacked, an elegant solution, but I'm sure it will work out just fine overall, because Lord knows, taking a boat where you have a limited number of weapons and you try to divide it in 2, yeah, you're trying to slice hairs, one of those rules that normally does not apply in FedCom, but it was added for FedCom, is the limitation on the maximum range of weapons, like phasers on gunboats now have a maximum on gunboats have a maximum range of 15, while no other ships in FedCom currently have a limitation. Also, gunboats can only gunboats cannot target seeking weapons on a target more than 25 hexes away. So it has a limitation on how far away a target can be. And also a simplification, which of course anyone in SFB who knows the PFs, is that there for the PFs there was a special damage allocation chart, which simplified things greatly. As a single die 6 that you would roll, and it's a little different. Well, in FedCom they went, forget all that. The simplified damage allocation chart that you usually use for FedCom, where you take 10 internals and you roll 1 die for each 10 internals, and then you just go down, bump, 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 go down the chart. And this one, you just, let me look to see exactly what they say. This is what they say. 1 good punch and it's all over for the gunboat anyway, so there's no reason to obstreperous. Gene, help me about things. Basically, you get to just choose where you want to be hit. You have 5 internals, choose 5 boxes inside the gunboat and go from there. When it comes to movement, obviously, things are simplified there. It can do everything that a normal ship can do, but gunboats only have to be 1/2 point of power to make a high energy turn, which is cheaper than the normal 5 points of movement. And because it definitely 5 points of movement would be 5/8. So they simplified it to be 4/8, because as is dealing with an eighth of a point of power is problematic, to say the very least. Lord knows, I know it as an Andromedan player who has to, when it comes to managing the batteries, that invariably you get odd points of power in your batteries, especially one of the things that drives me up to the wall when it comes to SFB, and that is transporters. One transporter costs you 1/5 of a point of power to use. 1/5 of a point of power to use. So if an Andromedan uses a transporter to do like a hit and run raid on somebody, trying to get it so that battery is now even out again is difficult, to say the very least. Especially because they have all those rules about Andromedans using different ways of shunting off energy, you know, that just makes it problematic. And so I understand why they did, you know, half a point of power instead of requiring 5/8. And they just simplified this, that, you know, two gunboats dock together and they remain docked. Big surprise. Combined movement cost is 1/4. Duh. 2/8 is 1/4. You know, because anyone who knows tractors, tractor beams, when it comes to when you have two ships together, that the movement cost of those ships together is what you use, and you based on the number of power that you that ship is actually expended to figure out what is the speed of that individual ship. And of course, the one thing that is different for FedCom, meaning just not that it's different versus SFB, but different from a normal usage of ships category for FedCom, and that is, and since gunboats are considered ships, the one thing that they do not have is they do not have reloads. They have, you know, use up all the drones or all the plasma Ds in the racks. That's it. They're gone. They're done. Which I don't remember, to be honest, if PFs have reloads, have a set of reloads or not. My guess is not. So those are the rules. There's some special deployment rules, but I figured I'd skip over those. And I also, when it comes to labs, it's like, the gunboats are just like the Andromedans, where the Andromedans, in a lot of cases, they don't have, except for the motherships, they do not have labs. So what do you have to do? You have to use the rule that if you have no labs, a control space can be used for a lab. Now, I'm not sure if the gunboats have control spaces, and since this one is not explicitly saying that you have to control, have to have a control space, I'm assuming that even if you have no control spaces, you automatically have the ability to do conduct research, i.e., have a lab. And also, you can carry one unit of passengers because of there are certain scenarios where that is a requirement that you actually pick up somebody. So, I think, so overall, gunboats, you know, sounds simple. Overall, when it comes to being the next module, you know, I don't think I would mind it at all. You know, having it to be the gunboats instead of the ACK ships, but it doesn't sound bad, you know. I think it looks like the gunboats are very, to me, they're almost like a very small module, to be honest. They have a few rules for the gunboats themselves. And from the sounds of it, they don't plan on actually having, you know, they have to come to the fight on a tender. No, they can arrive independently, but you're just limited to 6 gunboats because, let me see what it says. Oh, yeah. If there are no real ships in the force, then up to 6 gunboats may be used in squadron scale. Sorry. Says, unless a specific exception is given in the published scenario, no force may include more than 6 gunboats, nor may it include more than 2 gunboats for each ship, frigates, and larger in a squadron scale. Damn. So, any comments from the peanut gallery?
Well, I don't recall if you mentioned it or not, but it's worth pointing out that in FedCom, the PFs and interceptors as well don't have warp booster packs.
Right. Yeah. I forgot about the. They do not have warp booster packs, and the skiffs, which are already in the game, are roughly the same size as gunboats.
So they actually do have. I don't know if it's a hailing frequencies extra or just a regular hailing frequencies, like an old issue or old communicator, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sample interceptor. I think it's the Romulan Decurion, and it has a movement cost of 1/16.
Huh. That's weird.
So, in theory, basically, one option they could do maybe is on the front of the ship card, you get the gunboat, and then if you turn the ship card over, you get the interceptor.
Yep. Oh, that's one thing I forgot to mention. And that is that just like at least I know this is the case for the Centurion. I'm pretty sure it's the case for the ISC. That is, an SFB, when it comes to plasma Fs, for a ship that has more than three plasma Fs, you only can launch two plasma Fs within the same turn. So that's one of those rules that kind of carried over from SFB. Because I'm not sure about the ISC. I feel pretty confident that the ISC would have it too. But I know definitively that for the Centurion, you could not launch all three plasma Fs in the same turn.
I'm pretty sure that the ISC gun build is actually previewed in the same issue.
So yes, it is.
You should see it there, yeah.
There it is. Then people seeing on the screen if they wanted to see the wonderful ISC gunboat. Because I actually have the hard copy of the rules, because I don't think Catalog number 54 is out in PDF form yet. I think last one was Catalog number 50, if I recall correctly. Because that's
when, the most recent one.
Right. That's what I thought. Because that's one of the things that I'm working towards, which is instead of having hard copies of everything, to get rid of the hard copies and replace them with PDF versions, just because of want to trim down how many books I actually have laying around, which I don't really use that often. Catalogs are great, and I think they're great for reading, great for reference material, great for for the stories that are built into it, but obviously they take up space. So I'd be happy to, after I've done the conversion process, which is basically, to me, conversion doesn't mean taking these captain's logs, the physical copies, cutting off the binding, and then feeding it in my scanner, which I have my scanner right over here next to me. You can't see it, but it is here. Converting, and doing it that way, to me, converting it means going to an e-tailer like Warehouse 23, Drive-Through RPG, or Wargame Vault, and repurchasing, actually, in many cases, purchasing for the first time, on the captain's logs, because of I've been a writer for the captain's logs for many, many years, and normally, one of the benefits of having an article in the captain's logs is to get a free copy of that captain's logs as a way of kind of thanking the person for writing the article. And I know someone else who also has done the same thing, has gotten the same thing. Can't imagine who the name of that person is.
Okay. So, actually, well, there's one reason to keep your copy of Captain's Log 50 is so that you can bring it on CL 52 next time you see Barry, so you can show him those other marauders.
That is true. There's at least a couple that I want to keep a copy of, like which is the History of the General War.
Well, I was going to say I thought you'd keep the one that has the history of the Andromedan War.
Yes, that's another one that I definitely would want to keep. Big surprise! I'm an Andromeda. I like playing them. So,
but also, anyway, I wanted to also mention that because over in Fighters Tech, there won't be any heavier special fighters, so no F-111. So that means that the Feds are going to get they'll probably get the Mustang Interceptor, and they'll get the Thunderbolt PF. So that's what their standard attrition units of that size will be. Hmm. There won't be any third way in Fit Commander. And also for the Andromedans, since the Interceptors, that would basically be probably where you'll see the mobile weapons platform.
Hmm.
But somebody on the BBS was requesting that they take the Adder Conjectural PF from Module C3A and give them that in FedCom, because it's not that unreasonable a unit, and so why not let them have it, basically. That was the argument. And I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I wouldn't say no to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually brings up a question. There's no third way for the Feds in FedCom. Are they getting PFs? Oh, sorry, gunboats?
Yes, what I'm saying is that they're going to get the Thunderbolt PF, and I suspect they're probably going to get the Mustang Interceptor as well.
That's one thing I did not see in here for the in Capsule Log number 54. There was no mention of it, which is, so they're also going to have the interceptors available, which is basically, in SFB terms, it's a failed experiment. It was a quick stepping stone from to have the actual fast patrol ships, because the interceptors basically were considered too small with too light of armament to be useful. And that's why they increased the size a little bit and created the gun, the PFs, and that's what they said, actually workable. And there might have been some interceptors laying around, used for personal cruise, personal ships, but that's about it.
Well, in the Alpha Austin, at least, because things are a little bit different elsewhere, but bear in mind that from a FedCon perspective, both gunboats and interceptors, in a sense, they're partly used for gap filling in terms of point values. So there's no doctrine stopping you from taking a mix of interceptors and PFs to whatever point value you like. I mean, there's no flotilla organization. So everything is basically, I guess, what you would call casual PFs over in the Alpha, in SFB. So there's no reason for them not to give you the interceptors as well. And as I say, if you have a look, what I also would recommend is checking the, there's a gunboat attack thread of the BBS,
mm-hmm.
and that is where they said that the Feds won't get the F-111, but they'll get their conjectural gunboat instead. So, because there's basically no point trying to give them something of the F-111, because it doesn't fit with what FedCom is trying to do, even if you consider Friday's attack. So the gunboat's a better fit. And also it exists on Shapeways, so people can buy a sprue with a full set of Fed PE gunboats, and then, gunboat attack will give them an excuse to play it.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, so they do have the interceptors, okay, because I just looked it up on the BBS. Has two plasma Fs, the Romulan, the Kurian, one phaser, boy, a 16th moving cost ship. And you're saying the Centurion's the same way? The Centurion, sorry.
Sorry, what was the question?
You were saying that the Centurion also is a 16th movement cost ship.
No. The Centurion would be 1/8 because it's a fast patrol ship.
Okay.
But the Decurion, because it's an interceptor, would be 1/16.
Right.
But as with the gunboats, the interceptors don't get their war booster packs either.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Oh.
Which actually is good news for the Andromedans, because if you consider how there's no such thing as a warp booster pack historically for the mobile weapon platform, in FedCom that won't matter as much because no one else is getting the warp booster pack either.
Right, right. I have to double check. It's been a while since I looked at the PFs and whether with the warp booster packs, were they able to reach a speed of 30 with the warp, only with the warp booster packs, or was it without the warp booster packs that they had, they could still do 30, but with the warp booster packs, they had more power, basically?
Well, the booster packs are so that they'll actually have the power to arm their weapons while running fast, but they also cause additional engine damage if you get hit with them.
Okay.
Yeah, they explode really nicely. If I recall correctly from way back in the day playing the PF, that yes, the booster packs allowed you to arm all your weapons and do everything, and you could go at high speed while doing it, but the trade-off was that if they got through and took damage, they just basically poof real quick.
Mm-hmm. Good thing to go check, which is wow. Yeah. Yep, you're right. Damn. Well, I'm looking at the FedCom gunboats with, you know, just the 1/8 movement cost, and it's like, yeah, they definitely can't keep up the speed if they want to be able to fire any weapons, because you got 6 points of power out of warp, out of move. Yeah, well, you know, you can. So that 24 would be total cost of 3. Yeah, total cost of 3. Then after that, you've got 5, 6 power after that. Actually, that's good enough to fire things. And there's the Klingon, which is a two phaser twos and a disruptor. So actually, it does have enough power without the warp booster packs. So, you know. So I'm not sure. Only benefit in my mind is that it has less internals. Though of course, the beauty of the warp booster packs themselves were that if you hit the warp power, boom! Now you have to roll another die to see if you might have destroyed the whole engine in one fell swoop.
And one adjacent thing about Gunboat's attack is that once it's out, the final versions of the rules, because even the rules that they already exist, there's ways in which they could be adapted to fit the FedCom conversion projects for both Omega and the LMC. Because the LMC is pretty straightforward. The Batavai interceptors and gunboats, they don't have warp booster packs historically, so they could basically be translated as is, and they wouldn't really lose much. But for Omega, the big issue would be is that the volatile warp engines are twice the size as for standard alpha octet engines or PFs. But they don't get warp booster packs. So I think over there, you'd probably have to make the base movement cost for an Omega PF 1/4 instead of 1/8. And then that should get you roughly back in the same space in terms of the energy output versus energy cost.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because in SFB, Omega PFs, they, if they're not using the afterburner, they take double damage on their engines.
Right.
And if they're not able to repair their own engines, they need to be repaired at a tender.
Right.
Fed Commander, I suspect the double damage should stay, and then triple damage when you run the afterburner. But the way the FC works, I don't know if you need to enforce not being able to repair the engines yourself, because if there's not going to be any gunboat tenders, then that means that you're basically stuck, which could be part of the point. Again, I mean, that's a decision for another day, but it's definitely something to consider at that point. Yeah.
Oh, agreed. Agreed when it comes to the tenders. Looks like, I'm assuming, now this might not be in the final product, but it is definitely currently in the playtest product in the cabin's log, which is they actually do have a damage control rating, a DCR, of 2. So it looks like they are set to repair things on the ship. And I don't see any, I didn't see any special rules in the rules that were given that says, you know, that you couldn't repair warp, which makes sense, you know, as a simplification for FedCom versus, you know, SFB.
Of course, the other thing would be that flotilla / squadron sizes would be the same. Well, for the Batavai, it would be the same, because they would basically, their standard flotilla size is 6. And in Omega, because, you know, how we were mentioning about how the Federation or just will get their PFs, they're not going to bother with F-111s. So, similarly, I would just give the Federal Republic their conjectural gunboats, and they're in flotillas of 6 as standard. So that the number of those you could take would be the same. But when it comes to like Nisron or other gunboats that are physically larger but that in SFB have a smaller flotilla size, like 4 or 5 or whatever, I would match that as well. So I would just say that an FC, a Nisron player, can take up to 4 quote-unquote casual gunboats, and that's it. And I guess that would be 2 on squadron scale. But of course the boats would be pricier in exchange and bigger and tougher.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And for those of you who are watching the video, thank you, Dave, the History of the General Wars and Caps Log number 17, just bringing that back, which is, that's interesting. Those interested on the video, I'm actually showing up the Romulan Decurion Interceptor, so you can see what it looks like, you know, with the 2 plasma Fs here, phaser 1 up here, and 4 warp and 2 impulse, and 1 lonely little battery, which will probably be the first thing to get shot off the ship. And there's also, and there's some quick rules with it, with that PDF, which is, it mentions, of course, it's just like the captain's log said about the gunboats, which interceptors are small craft about 20 meters long with a crew around 15 to 20 beings. Think of PT boats in space. Which basically is the same thing as what's described as gunboats. And I'm just looking at this for a moment. Okay, is this mentioning mainly gunboats? Gunboats are the smallest they are in their fire. Gunboats rearm plasma interceptors. Interceptors have 2 shields, as just like in SFB. If you notice, you have 1, 2 shield. You know, shield number, the front shield covers 6, 1, and 2 shield arcs, and of course the rear is 3, 4, 5. Um, Damjad Christian will not use. Still one Marine on the ship, which cannot leave. Interceptors should have a movement cost 1/16. Can do all the rest of the regular moves, just like a regular ship. Interceptors pay 0 power to make 1 high energy turn per game turn and have no chance of failure. And of course, interceptors can use energy for a negative tractor, just like every other ship in the game. Yeah, that's one thing I'd have to research that more. Chris Nunzi, I'm literally mutilating your name. He says, think of PD boats in space and forget that they were a failed experiment in World War II. Which, yeah, agreed. Of course, the thing is, I'd have to look at PT boats more on that, because it is interesting. It's an interesting dot in history when it comes to boat designs, because of definitely if you compare the PT boats of World War II versus the PFs / gunboats of SFB. The ones in SFB, they actually worked out really well. You know, when it comes to a ship cheap to make, powerful and speedy. So could it be blown up in a single gun, a single volley? Yeah. But that was kind of the point. Because in my mind, here's the one thing that maybe that it doesn't really that does not really lend itself to a comparison when it comes to PT boats in World War II versus gunboats. And that is the one good thing about like gunboats and fighters and things like that, the attritional units, is one, multiple targets, but two, what's called overkill. That is when you fire so much damage upon a ship just to make sure that it dies, but you're possibility of wasting weapons against that ship, so that that makes all the rest of the ones that survive more effective against you, because of now if you were able to do it cleanly, and you could always kill, you could kill possibly 4, but since you can't do that, you only could possibly kill 2 or 3, because you have to also have the possibility of overkill. So that's one of the things that an SFB lends itself, because fighters are the same way. Though fighters are, in my mind, are different beast overall, and that is because of the fighters in SFB. One of the biggest issues, one of the hugest issues, that if you look at SFB, in my mind anyway, is that of course you have the whole issue of in SFB you have fighters. Now the problem with fighters is seeking weapons. You have this little itty bitty launch platform, which you can launch like 12 of these from a single ship. Each one of them can carry around, let's say, easily 2 drones per, if not more. And then those can launch those drones, and all of a sudden you've got this huge, huge wave of seeking weapons versus think about putting those. Try adding 12 drone racks on the same ship. You can't. And that's the beauty of fighters, is that basically you've now added 12 drone racks on a ship. That is what you've done in SFB when it comes to fighters. agreed there. Mike is mentioning that fighters can also be too slow to keep up with the moving fighting in open space. But in some a lot of times, you don't have to. You just have to have the ability to launch the fighters when they're within range of the target that you want to launch them at. And then after they're done, then, you know, just, you know, land them again, you know. And usually the drones are flying faster than the ships themselves. So was that Doug? Was that you?
Yeah. Just one of the issues with that is a matter of timing. You know, I mean, they have a delay when you launch them. You have to get them deployed in the right way. There's a whole different strategy to that when mm-hmm. you're talking about fighter ops. But fighter waves can also, if they're not done right, they can be wiped out by a T-bomb.
That is true.
But I like that idea of think of PT boats in space, because it wasn't just a failed experiment in World War II. In World War I, I believe the Italians used speedboats to some good effect as well. It's mm-hmm. just that on a larger strategic go-to-sea basis, stay there for a long period of time, those things were not really that practical compared to a frigate or a corvette.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's some nice food for thought to chew on there.
Right, compared to, like I'm thinking about Vietnam, where they actually had smaller boats going up river, you know. And so it wasn't not going. Yes.
Those forces were a constraint of the terrain that they were used in.
Right.
And when you think World War II naval battles, you generally think big open sea engagements or maybe Coral Sea, the turkey shoot, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in Vietnam is a much smaller conflict that's much more localized and essentially is a land war, and those were naval supplements going into the river war part of it.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
But you don't have any real much in the way of records of them, say, engaging in the kind of fight that you would have at SFB, which is battles in space.
Right.
Most of which are going to be in open space, unless the scenario is specific.
Right, right.
Well, bear in mind that historically speaking, there's a few things to unpack, because when fast patrol ships were first deployed in Alpha and Omega, they were based on planets. So they were basically there to assist the defenses of a world, rather, because it took time to develop the concept of a tender. And even then, it's worth noting that only a few years, in Alpha at least, only a couple of years after gunboats started appearing, X-ships with X-Aegis started showing up, and rapid pulsing phasers started showing up. So the attrition units in general, they were less effective than they would have been even just a few years ago. But what allowed gunboats and fast patrol ships gunboats and so forth to stay in service longer than they probably would have been ordinarily was the Andromedan War, because the Andromedans didn't get X-ships. And so, and also, when it comes to hunting rapid transit networks, gunboats attached to a tender with its scout sensors is a useful force multiplier when you're trying to chase down a satellite base or whatever to destroy it before the Andromedans can do it. So had it not been for the Andromedans, then it's likely that the process of moving away from gunboats or fighters for that matter would have been accelerated as more and more X-ships came into the fray. So I wouldn't get too caught up with the use of gunboats even in the Starfleet universe, because they had a certain window in Alpha, at least, that was extended due to unexpected circumstances. But they weren't necessarily considered to be a long-term solution themselves. So, which, I mean, if you're the kind of person that prefers this start for the universe to be about the actual starships rather than the attrition units.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, you know, edge cases like the Hydrons and Hypers. That would probably be a good thing because, like, if you want the focus to be, because, you know, because I mean, a lot of people would basically might not necessarily be too happy about the fact that attrition units became so prominent in the first place. So, which I suppose is a handy thing for Fed Commander, because the way in which Fed Commander is setting things up is purposely limiting things so that you'll never get that point. You'll never get to the point where, well, hopefully at least, where attrition units will overshadow the ships that are meant to be the stars of the show, if that makes sense.
Right, right. And I said the big thing there, I think, is fighters. That's the one that thing really unbalanced thing when it comes to just the amount of seeking weapons that they could launch. You know. And I understand what Doug says when it comes to SOB and fighters, and that, you know, a T-bomb can take out a whole squadron. Yeah, but the problem with a T-bomb taking a whole squadron, you have to, one, lay the T-bomb where the squadron will be, number one. Number two, you have to get close enough for the fighters to, you know, basically
situational. Yeah. I mean, you can drop it while you're running away,
mm-hmm,
and take out their drones as easily as the fighters themselves.
Right.
Which is essentially about the difference.
Hmm.
Although it's not BPV wise, I mean, you'll get credit for killing the drones, but there you go. If you negate them, then that's the whole thing. It's a very situational issue. So. And when you're talking about balanced fights, you're also looking at not just how much damage can all those fighters do, but how many things are you not bringing in because you brought the carrier with the fighters, paid for all the drones and everything else, versus the other side where, if, you know, they come in, they could maybe wipe your fighters out, and then you're basically have to warp off. So there's that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I know that just reminds me of the Andromedans, the whole idea of the satellite ships, where, you know, the whole idea is that the motherships wouldn't really be engaged that closely. Most of the time, the whole idea was to get so that the satellite ships would go in and, you know, do most of the fighting. There's one that come flying in, and if they get blown up, they get blown up. Okay, they leave them behind and they abandon them, and they, you know, they save the mothership because the satellite ships were relatively easy to create, you know, and repair. So, anyhow, I think why don't we end it there, since I think it's getting a little late to start a discussion on X ships, which is what we can do is next week, is that we can start up a discussion of X ships when it comes to FedCom, and because there's definitely read up on those interesting rules. There's some of them I don't quite agree with, but I think it would definitely end up in a good discussion. Doug, it was great hanging up. Oh, by the way, you want to give a plug?
Yes, I do. I've been waiting for this moment, and then I forgot. Oh, what was my plug? Oh, yes, Gamers of Winter. Again, we're doing the fundraiser still. You can look us up under Gamers of South Central PA on Facebook. And I actually had an extra thing I wanted to talk to you about with that. And within Gamers of South Central PA, there's a link for the fundraiser. We're just basically looking to try to get a new space. We're not sure where yet. And, I mean, in previous podcasts, we've talked about the history of why we're looking for the new space and what we'd like to see and some potential different ways of running the event as you know, maybe a month-long series of things instead of just one weekend. But that fundraiser is there. It's a GoFundMe fundraiser. And also, there's a board game day coming up in Harrisburg on Labor Day weekend, which is when we would normally hold Gamers of Summer, but we're not because of the issues that we discussed prior about, like, you know, the post-COVID attendance drop that we've seen. And what I was wondering about that, and it's just something to think about, I don't want to really need an answer now, but would be maybe coming up with something different to do for Gamers of Winter. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed the possibility before of, you know, doing stuff at the board game day, mm-hmm. to show some of the things that we do at Gamers of Winter. But, I mean, like, I'm just thinking back to, like, the nostalgia days of when I used to play F&E a bit at Fort Hood along with SFB. And I've been watching some videos where, like, Gaming Group X has a campaign, and it's something I've always kind of wanted to do, and I was wondering if there's an interest in it, if somebody might be willing to referee it, could run like one of the small F&E scenarios, like, you know, like a very limited, very narrow in scope thing that's not mm-hmm. the general war.
Right, one of the border wars.
Yeah, like one of the early campaign or little mini campaign type of ones,
right?
Like the Hydran one, where you have a very limited scope and a very, you know, shorter game than a full scale F&E thing. But you could turn around and say, okay, this particular battle over here, we're going to resolve it with our F&E play, with our Fed Commander players, or as opposed to, you know, Federation, or as opposed to SFB,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense, because it might be a quicker way to resolve it than SFB as a scenario.
Right.
But, you know, a little scenario generation there, and some of the other fights in it would be just done using the F&E system.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a multi-day event.
Yeah.
Impossible. That's just something to think about.
Yeah.
If you have a bit of time, there's actually three thoughts I have about that. One of them is, do you have a copy of the large-scale map that they sell from ADB? Because I think that cleans up better much more when it comes to what people have as events, like the StratCon that was held in Amarillo recently.
Yeah. Rather than the paper maps. I don't have one of those maps, and I'm not sure when the next time they'll be placing an order for them. Because I know they usually have, they required a certain number of orders or promise of orders before they can order that, because it costs a bit of money. So, no, I don't.
So wait, I thought they still had it on their storefront, so I didn't think they ran out of them just yet.
I will check.
So wait, now the second thing is the 2016 update to the Fighter Operations Rulebook, which I think is available on Warehouse 23 as a PDF, has a revised version of the Four Powers War scenario, which focuses on the, of course, the Klingons, Lyrans, Xenites, and Hydrans. So that might be, and it's set in the Middle Years, so they don't have carriers or some of the other things that show up during the General War. So that might be a big enough scenario to have, to make interesting, but small enough to handle properly, because there's been a lot of work put into refine that scenario based on what it was in the early version of Fighter Operations. So that definitely will be one to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is, if you're playing a scenario set in the Middle Years and you want to use Federation Commander to resolve some of the battles, there's a whole bunch of Middle Year ships available in briefing number 2, which is available both as a black and white rulebook and as a collection of color ship card packs. So you actually have the historical unrefitted cruisers and so forth that would be available in that time period to be able to play out the battles as they would take place.
Understood. Thank you. So.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I had. Plug for the fundraiser and the event.
Okay.
The
Doug?
Martin Luther King week.
You still have to correct the banner on the Gamers of Winter website. The banner still says
On the
January
website.
5th. Yeah, it says, yeah.
That.
Yeah, gamersofwinter.net.
Ah, okay.
Still says January 15th
I
through
just had the
17th.
wrong date on. So
Yeah.
22. That's just 2022.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I will do that. So.
Because that should be
I thought I
2023.
fixed the other.
Yeah, because it looks like you
Yes, it'll
fixed,
be 2023.
right? Looks like you fixed the one
It'll be number 14 then.
for the GoFundMe page, but not the one for the
Yeah, not that one.
Yep.
Ah, perfect. Not my name. So yes, I will fix that.
Understood. Thanks, Iggy. Iggy just reminding us of said issue. So. Doug,
It's added to my to-do list.
will do. Many things.
Yeah, and now I'm getting the cat aggro you were having earlier.
Say hello to Kitty for me.
Yep. Omaha's fine.
Okay.
She just decided it's her 14-hour nap is over, and hi, what are you doing? Why are you not petting me? Pay attention to me, damn it.
I
Yeah, et
understood.
cetera.
Been there, done that,
All right, thanks,
got the cats
Paul.
and scars to prove it. Okay, have a good night. Gary, it's always been lovely to have you around. Hopefully, I'll see you again next week.
I'll see you when I see you, Paul.
Okay, bye-bye. So, had a nice little go through when it comes to gunboats in FedCom, because obviously there's three modules that have the possibility coming out. So I figured that we would hit on those because of I think they're definitely worthy topic because of I know when they came out in the cabinet's log we did not actually discuss them, and I apologize for that, but you know it also I think it gives it a great opportunity given that ADB has noted an interest in doing just they have three of them. He said pick one, and as noted last week, I think both Gary and I would prefer X ships to either gunboats or fighters, but to me it's X ships, gunboats, then fighters. And if they forget about the fighters, I would be very happy. I still, no matter what they do, I don't think fighters really can be added to a system without severely damaging it when it comes to seeking weapons and so forth. But I'll read the rules. I'll read the rules before, you know, when we get around to discussing that so that we can probably have a good discussion about that in the future. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night. Okay.
So, are you going to go to this Labor Day thing? And if so, do you think that might be the time you might get to see Barry?
Possibly on both fronts. Actually, yeah. I have to double check on whether Barry's going to be coming, but that's definitely something I have to look at. I have to double check with Doug to see exactly where that is. Because I should be able to make it. I just
Okay.
got I gotta look about timing and things like that. But yeah.
Yeah, because I guess just, I mean, we mentioned showing him CL-1552, but if you think he'd be interested, the Omega created in CL-54, it might be worth showing him as well.
Understood. We'll do.
All right, so I'll leave it at that. And well, I'm not too sure what's happening in the next few weeks, but I'll be around. I'll be around. That's all I can say.
Okay. Either way, you know, if you can make it, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine too.
Understood.
Okay. See ya.
All right. And talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Welcome to Star Trek Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SWB Online, FedCon Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. It's Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website, www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or search for Starfleet Universe On Call. Also, if you want to watch us live and participate in the chat room, then the best place to go is actually twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. That's twitch.tv/SFUONCALL. And we'll listen and watch and talk in the chat room because that's where most of the people hang out these days. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's also sfuoncall. And if you want to follow my personal account, it's Paul Franz. That's PaulFranz. There's no T in that. Just a reminder that I love being Catholic, an O's fan, even though they lost tonight. And also, I love tech. So, any of those bother you, do not follow me. And, of course, I have my Franz Games account, which you can keep an eye out on what's going on with Starfleet Universe On Call. Sorry. Starfleet Warlord, SFB Online, and FedCom Online. You can just keep an eye out on that one. And, of course, this lovely TalkCast, Gets Turned to a Podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. So quick news from A to B this week. Currently, they seem to be focusing on completing Strat Ops. And there's many things that they're working, have, I forget her name, working on the cover, and they're working on fixing up the rules so that it be ready to publish. Moving on to SFB Online tournaments, there currently are none. The one is currently not running, so it's kind of quiet overall. Moving on to the libraries, when it comes to the SFB library, nothing new there, no repairs, no fixes, nothing new. And also FedCom, also there's been no new ships submitted to the library. So with that is the news for this week.